You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Happy Friday, and welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best news, coverage, and insight into all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys once again for another episode of the show. It is Free Talk Friday, and we're going to be talking about some Broncos country-related topics that everybody's talking about on the Twitter sphere and various other outlets. Hope you guys are enjoying your day today. Sorry we didn't get the episode up earlier. We transitioned from a PC to a MacBook, so we're making some things happen, and to help get me through this, I am drinking a grape Body Armor sports drink, and I tell you what, guys, you guys have to check this out. If you haven't heard of Body Armor and a sports drink and what they can do and what they can offer, I tell you what, here, it's amazing. Let me tell you a little bit about it right here. They're a natural sports drink, and when you compare it to Gatorade, they don't use any artificial flavors, colors, dyes, or any type of sweeteners. That's one thing. So you know you're getting a natural drink with that as well. And they also have different packages. They have the Body Armor grape, and they also have the light version as well. So the cool thing about that is you always hear about Gatorade, low calorie, or zero, or G2. All of those are full of artificial sweeteners. Body Armor Light sports drink is the first ever naturally sweetened low-calorie sports drink on the market. They're potassium-based electrolytes instead of sodium. So in comparison to Gatorade, Gatorade is full of high sodium. I recommend Body Armor sports drink to my athletes that I coach at high school. And I tell you what, it tastes good. It gets me some good energy to get throughout the day. So keep it up. So you can head over to your local King Super, Safeway, Walmart, Sam's Club, wherever you get your beverages, Walgreens, and check out Body Armor sports drink today. Pick up a grape one. Tell me what you guys think about that as well. But I got my Body Armor right here as we're getting ready to kick off today's show. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the NFL, as well as a Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. I appear sometimes on Orange and Blue 760 in various radio stations throughout Colorado, even in Wyoming. We also talk some Broncos stuff in Wyoming with some partners up there as well. Launching CodyRourkeNFL.com here this week. Very excited about that. You guys could subscribe to me on YouTube at CodyRourkeNFL and follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. So let's dive into Free Talk Friday today. Some of the topics around Broncos country that I think everybody's kind of talking about, we're going to give a little bit of insight onto my personal perspective on it on our Free Talk Friday. And also, I forgot to mention at the top of the hour, we have our Broncos country giveaway. 3 Broncos Super Bowl rings up for grabs because we reached 10,000 followers. So Twitter, Broncos country, we couldn't have done it without you guys. Thank you. Winner will be announced this Sunday. So this week, the Broncos hosted quarterback Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State University, and this happened to be on the day where there was supposed to be the big, big snowstorm. It did snow a little bit in Denver, but not as much to the bomb cyclone effect that I think everybody was kind of anticipating. But one of the things that really came away from this is going to start off our Free Talk Friday segment is Dwayne Haskins wore John Elway's old retro jersey to the interview with the team. And usually if you're an NFL agent, you're looking at it through the lens of, you don't want to dress too fancy because, look, you're going to save that for the NFL draft when you go. You don't want it to be, you know, you want to be business casual ultimately. You know, a button up and slacks is a good attire to wear normally if I was giving advice to an athlete as an agent. But Dwayne Haskins kind of came in laid back, and it really set the mood for the meeting. You know, the Broncos had a good meeting with Dwayne Haskins, and, you know, there could be some possibility if he slides a little bit or if he's there at 10 and let's say Drew Lock gets picked up earlier, or if the Broncos don't decide to go best player available in this year's draft here in about 2 weeks, the Broncos could pick up a guy like Dwayne Haskins who could, I think, develop nicely in the system behind Joe Flacco. But ultimately, this type of move, it's kind of fun because he made the meeting a little bit more fun. You know, anytime you go into these meetings, a lot of times, you know, front office people, general managers, organizations, they will ask you a lot of questions. And mostly these visits pertain to off-the-field stuff, character interviews, more so than what you get to see at the NFL Scouting Combine, where general managers and coaches, they get to follow around players and they grill them more on football-related stuff. They get to ask some weird questions. Unfortunately, we saw some of that dilemma, you know, happen at the Senior Bowl this year. Not necessarily with Broncos staff, but some players were asked some really odd questions. But these are the meetings, too, when the pre-draft visits on gauging what type of fit a player may be in the city and the culture of what the team wants to represent, the vision, the mission statement, everything like that. They want to see what they're getting as a guy off the field. So I think for Dwayne Haskins to come into this meeting with John Elway, Matt Russell, and executives, I think it sets a pretty good tone, you know, laid back, and it doesn't always have to be too serious. So Dwayne Haskins, I mean, this is a pretty bold move. Not a lot of people will kind of put themselves out there like that. So for Dwayne Haskins being able to meet with all these teams, I mean, he's been visiting teams left and right. So this one, for him to be more comfortable to come out there and show John Elway, hey, look, I'm wearing your jersey, I think it really makes things a little bit easier. So do the Broncos go with a guy like Dwayne Haskins? I mean, it's certainly possible, but as of right now, that shouldn't be and isn't priority number one for the Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are focused on best player available in this year's draft, and it'll be very interesting to see in the next week and a half what really comes to fruition, because we talked about a little bit earlier this week the rumors of the Jets having interest in trading back from number three. This is the perfect opportunity, in my opinion, if the Broncos are solely sold on a guy like Quinnen Williams or even an Ed Oliver or Devin White. They got to do it, and they got to move up to number three. They got to trade back, and they got to change spots with the New York Jets. My ultimate question is, if you do that, who do the Broncos pick? Because it's almost certain the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be selecting Devin White, one of the worst kept secrets around the NFL. Devin White, a very, very talented player. And, you know, one of the things he can improve on, he's very, very athletic, but I think instinctually he relies too much on his instincts rather than, as we pointed out in a piece that Thomas Hall did yesterday on Mile High Huddle, he's a good dude. He was talking more along the lines of, you know, he's got to start reading the guards more consistently. And absolutely, if you're going to be a successful inside linebacker, you got to read guards. Go back and watch Luke Kuechly. In my opinion, Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly are two of the best inside linebackers in the league in terms of their ability to read guards. That's why they're top year every single year, Pro Bowl caliber players, because they can read the guard and they're very, very talented athletically too. Devin White's very, very talented athletically, so I think he can make a lot of good decisions. If he can start reading those guards, he won't get caught up in the wash sometimes. He's quick enough to beat a pulling guard to the spot he's supposed to fill, and I like his intangibles. I really, really do, but the Broncos have a lot of options on the table, and we're not going to get into that because guess what? Everybody's talking about, oh, who are they going to go with? Nobody knows, so we got to wait for the NFL draft where we're going to have complete reaction over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. Very excited to see who the Broncos decide to go with. But one thing before we jump into our Free Talk Friday, continue here on in segment number two, I got to tell you guys, look, it's playoff time at the Mile High City. Colorado Avalanche are in the playoffs, and now the Denver Nuggets, they kick off their playoff bid tomorrow evening at the Pepsi Center, hosting the San Antonio Spurs, the number 2 seed Nuggets, and the number 7 seed San Antonio Spurs. The last time these two teams played, Greg Popovich got kicked out, but more so, I believe that was a game that's setting things up. We're going to see a different version of the Spurs, and Adam Ottis, host of Locked On Nuggets, has you covered with the insight and news about what the Nuggets need to do to start off fast in this year's playoffs. But the playoff atmosphere is rocking at the Can. You guys can go to nuggets.com and reserve a spot. If you can't get tickets, they are having a live watch party outside of Pepsi Center. So go be part of that. Go cheer on your Denver Nuggets and your Colorado Avalanche today. As the Broncos continue through their offseason program, Joe Flacco enters the 2019 season as the Broncos' starting quarterback. And with that, there are a lot of people speculating, a lot of people discussing leading up to the NFL draft whether or not the addition of Joe Flacco impacts their desire to pick a quarterback with first-round pick in this year's NFL draft. More than likely, that is not the case in this year's draft. And Charles Robinson came out this week and said the Broncos want to avoid that situation where the fans are chanting essentially for a first-round quarterback. If Joe Flacco has a game where he struggles, they would say they want to eliminate that type of pressure. We'll see when the draft comes around, but I think it's interesting to note that this happens everywhere. And I think recently with Broncos country, we've seen a lot of that as well. Go back to last season with Case Keenum. When he was going through his apparent struggles, you had fans on Twitter, the internet, emails, mailbags, and everywhere inside the stadium chanting for Chad Kelly to come out on the field and replace Case Keenum. And, you know, one play Chad Kelly comes in, the stadium erupts, but it's only just to take a knee. Case Keenum comes back in the second half. But, you know, with this whole situation and dilemma, when a quarterback isn't playing up to standard or up to par, it's understandable for fans, for people alike, to get frustrated when things aren't working, and it's super easy to blame everything on the quarterback. Now, Joe Flacco, I think with his veteran presence, he's more established, more consistent than what Case Keenum has been, and I'm not knocking Case Keenum. I want to thank Case Keenum for what he's done in the city of Denver, but unfortunately, it just didn't work out, and that's not necessarily all his fault. His system was not tailor-made to him, but Rich Scangarello's offensive system is tailor-made to be to the strengths of their players. And Joe Flacco, you got to start off with what your quarterback can do and what he can't do, and you adapt the system to those needs. Now, Joe Flacco can throw the deep ball. He can throw the short to intermediate routes. His third down completion percentage last year was phenomenal with the Ravens. But ultimately, when you look at the on-field product that the Broncos have, they have a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball on paper. Offensive line is a big concern, so there is hope that the Broncos' O-line will transform under Mike Munchak, which I believe it absolutely will, given his track record, his history of building offensive lines to be very, very successful. He leaves them in better place than when he found them, so I'm not too worried about the Broncos' offensive line. I'm not worried about wide receiver. I'm not worried about running back because the Broncos have their two guys there. They have enough wide receivers, and they're going to add some more depth in this year's draft, so really there's nothing to be harping on in terms of the Broncos' offense, but I think it's important that you let Joe Flacco have this year. Look, you have Kevin Hogan as your backup quarterback. You have Garrett Grayson as another guy on the roster as a quarterback. Will Kevin Hogan play? Hopefully never, except barring in the event he needs to come in and let's say, you know, the game's over and the Broncos are up big and they don't want to hurt, you know, Joe Flacco get hurt late in the fourth quarter. That would be the only hope you want to see Kevin Hogan come into a game. Outside of that, you got to hope Joe Flacco can stay healthy all of 2019, which in his career, despite the narrative that some people have pushed out there, he's actually stayed quite healthy overall in his career. So I'm not necessarily worried about what Joe Flacco can do in terms of health. He's in great shape all the time. He's going through the offseason workout program with Lauren Lando and his training staff and the other Broncos, and he's moving along just nicely. But I think one of the things, too, is people have to remember, I mean, we saw the NFL world get set on fire with Patrick Mahomes. We saw all these quarterbacks throwing for massive amounts of yards, touchdowns. I know that's fun to watch, but the Broncos don't need to have a guy that comes in and just lights it up. Joe Flacco doesn't have to come in and throw 39 touchdowns and 4,700 yards in a season for them to be successful. I mean, go back to the Broncos' 2015 season. You look at both quarterbacks from Peyton Manning to Brock Osweiler. Their stats altogether weren't very good. They managed the game, though, in a lot of those situations, and the Broncos controlled the game defensively. Now, I think one thing that the Broncos have this year, and or they had last year on paper heading into this year, that they didn't have when Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler were going in 2015, I don't think they had a very balanced run game. There were games where C.J. Anderson couldn't get going. I mean, C.J. Anderson didn't even run for 1,000 yards in his career in 2015, and he had a big, big year that year. They had Ronnie Hillman as another guy. But last year, they had really dynamic tailbacks between Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. So all you got to do is you play ground control with the offensive running game, and you can dink and dunk, and you can make all the pass, take shots down the field when necessary. But you don't have to force Joe Flacco to go out there and just absolutely light up the scoreboard. If that's the case, and you have to worry about it, how often is your defense on the field? That's going to be a big question mark, for, I think, overall. But one thing that I want to take a look at with Joe Flacco is you got to avoid the pressure. And Broncos fans, I want you guys to come into 2019 with an open mind because, look, I know, new quarterback, everything along those lines, it gets frustrating when you can't find the right fit. The Broncos haven't found that. You know, it's hard to replace a guy like Peyton Manning, and unfortunately, the guys you tried to replace him with are sixth-rounders, seventh-rounders, and none of the other, you know, those didn't work. So you're going with a guy like Joe Flacco who's established. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. He's had successful seasons. He's been a good, consistent quarterback in his career outside of several years where he did struggle. And I think a lot of that was a supporting cast around him. On paper, I think the Broncos' supporting cast is much, much better right now than it's been in Baltimore in quite some time. So I'm excited for that. I think with the young resurgence of, you know, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton, and Manuel Sanders, I think is going to be a huge, huge target for Joe Flacco. And he's getting better. He's going to be on track, ready to go for the week one opener as of right now. But I think the Broncos are going to continue to monitor that situation. I think overall, before we jump to conclusions, we can't come into the assumption of 2019 that the Broncos are going to be terrible, that Joe Flacco isn't going to have any success, and we can't come into it thinking that he's going to come into it and light it up. You got to come into 2019, and you just got to hope the offensive production is more consistent and better from the quarterback position than what they had in 2018 with Case Keenum. Like I said, I think Joe Flacco can be that guy for the Broncos. And if Joe Flacco doesn't end up being that guy for the Broncos, well then look, you got to keep looking until you find that guy. You can't just keep hoping and praying that the next guy's going to work out. The next guy's going to work out. Quarterback is the hardest position in all of football, not only just to play, but to evaluate. And a lot of times we see quarterbacks benefit from systems. So we mentioned it earlier that Coach Scangarello is going to use a system that benefits what Joe Flacco is really, really good at. And that's how they're going to tailor make this offense with a running game with Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. But if the Broncos don't get it right, here's the thing. A lot of people are expecting Joe Flacco to come in and play for the next 6 years. He's 34 years old. The Broncos still have to address quarterback of the future. However, I've been on record of saying this. This year's quarterback class is not that great in my eyes compared to, I think, some of the more natural talent at the position that is coming out in 2020. And I'm open to debate that. I mean, I'm absolutely open to debate. Just because I say it doesn't mean that's how it is. I encourage debate, I encourage discussion, but I'm just not sold on this year's quarterback class outside of maybe one or two guys. And next year, I think there's going to be around three or four guys that can really be big-time players for organizations in need of a quarterback. And could that be the Broncos? I mean, who knows? We'll have to see how 2019 goes, but the Broncos have to find a way to bring in a young guy at some point. It doesn't have to be the 2019 draft. It could be the 2020 draft. Bring him in, and hopefully this 1 to 3 year period with Joe Flacco serves as a tool for him to develop, and then your young guy can take over the moment that the Broncos are done with Joe Flacco, or Joe Flacco decides to hang it up if he's playing good. But Joe Flacco, all he's got to do, he's got to come in and he's got to make sure that he doesn't turn the football over. We take a look at the Broncos 2018. Where did they struggle offensively? Third down and in the red zone. What do we have to analyze in terms of comparison for 2019? How do they do in the red zone and on third down? Obviously, if we took what Joe Flacco did for the Ravens on third down, that's great. You should have an instant upgrade there, but it has to translate onto the field. So coming up here in the final segment of the show, we're going to get into a little bit of community stuff that the Broncos are going to be launching here, and we encourage Broncos country to get involved. But before we jump into that, I got to remind you guys, Will Parks is hosting his first ever annual football camp this year in his hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is going to be on June 29th. You can go to willparks34.com and you can register to be part of the camp if you're in the age bracket of 6 to 17 years old. And if you want to be a coach, or if you are a coach in that area and you want to be part of it, or you just want to volunteer, you can register as well. The camp will take place on Saturday, June 29th. Registration will start at 8 o'clock a.m. The camp lasts from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and it's going to be at Benjamin L. Johnson Stadium. I'll be there, be shooting some footage, being part of it as well. I want to thank Will Parks for that opportunity. So it's going to be a fun thing to be part of over there, and we encourage you guys to check it out. Parks Place Adventures kicks off the first ever annual football camp for Bronco safety Will Parks, and you guys can catch him here every week during the regular season for his weekly Keeping It Will segment. Jumping into our final segment here on today's episode of Locked On Broncos, want to kind of present a little bit of a question for you that's going to serve as one of our Locked On Broncos thoughts of the day. When you look at 2019, what is the one goal that you have for each unit on the field? And we're talking about offense, we're talking about defense, we're talking about special teams. You can go to Twitter right now, go to Cody Rourke NFL and reply to the tweet with your response and tell us what you'd like to see. What is your primary goal? What would you like to see from the offensive unit? What would you like to see the defensive unit do? And what are your expectations? What are you hoping to see from the special teams unit in 2019? I know for me, I'm going to give mine right off the top here. Offensively, I want to see the Broncos convert red zone opportunities and third down. I think that's the most important part of the game. I don't think they'll have any issues getting, you know, on second down, on first down. I think they're going to utilize a very balanced running game with Royce Freeman being the primary bell cow tailback and Philip Lindsay coming in to be the dashing guy that leaves defenses in the wind as they try to chase him from behind. Because that's the thing, is Royce Freeman is going to power guys down. You're going to use a combination of Royce Freeman, Andy Janovich, and then you're going to dash him with Phillip Lindsay. And you're going to get Phillip Lindsay touches, I think, more so as a receiver out of the backfield. His role is going to expand in 2019. The offensive expectations is to execute more efficiently than they did in 2018. Because we go back to several of those games, if the Broncos were able to execute offensively in several of those games, that could have been the difference between 6-10 and 10-6. But ultimately, the story writes itself, and the Broncos wouldn't have had Coach Fangio if that were the case. If the Broncos went 10-6, we'd still be talking about Vance Joseph being here as the coach. Who knows what that would have looked like, but that's definitely a good question. The defensive side of the ball, one thing I would love to see, my expectation is a defense that plays more fundamentally sound and disciplined. And the thing is look, the Broncos, their defense was still pretty good last season. The one thing I want to see more of is takeaways. There were several opportunities all throughout the season where the Broncos could have an interception, whether it be a defensive lineman, an inside backer, a safety, or a corner, and it's either tipped or they dropped or they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time and it doesn't convert there. I want to see less big plays and I want to see more takeaways from the Broncos defense. Special teams. What do we want to see from the special teams unit overall? I think it's important. I think it's very, very simple. You got to have production in the return game on kick return, punt return. Does that mean for the Broncos they get a guy in the draft that could be a speedy guy just who's focused primarily on returning? I think that would be a nice little addition for them overall, which would free up Deshaun Hamilton to be the Broncos slot receiver and have Courtland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders mix and match on the outside. I mean, you could do anything with this receiving core that the Broncos have, especially with Tim Patrick. I'm eager to see the Broncos offensive sets, but really the one thing I'd like to see is you want to take a guy off that's contributing on the offensive side of the ball, unless he's a guy that, you know, could be like Antonio Brown was for the Steelers or what Devin Hester used to be for the Bears. But Devin Hester just used to be a primary return guy. Then he evolved into a good receiver. So I'd like to see the Broncos find a guy that can be that absolute return guy. And it could be a Brendan Langley who's trying to make the team as a wide receiver, which is going to be difficult, but he can make his team value on special teams. And we talked about that quite a bit. So want to see on special teams, I want to see more production in the return game. It's been a long, long time since the Broncos have had a big kickoff return for a touchdown or a punt return for a touchdown. We need more of that in 2019. And if the Broncos can do these things, I think they're going to have a better season in translation than what they experienced last two seasons, going 11-21 combined. Got to bring back that competitive football. I'm okay. Look, here's the thing about sports. You can win, you can lose. Now, if you lose, you want to ask yourself, how competitive were we? Were we just getting our butts kicked, or were we competitive till the very end, fighting from the beginning of the game to the end of the game? Last season, it was in bits and spurts of inconsistency in terms of putting together a full 60-minute action of game film. And the Broncos got off to some slow starts. Sometimes they got off to a hot start and then sputtered in the second half. I would like to see consistency all across the board. So we want to hear what your thoughts, what your hopes, and your expectations are for the Broncos in 2019, offensively, defensively, and on the special teams side of the ball. But before we get to the end of the show here, I want to announce something that the Broncos are doing here. Denver is launching their Denver Day of Service, and the Broncos and Mile High United Way, they're challenging the community to participate in a 100-minute service project, which recognizes the NFL's 100th season. This happens on Friday, June 7th, starting at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. It doesn't have to cap it to anything, too. Anybody can sign up, and ultimately, if the whole city of Denver, or if we get 86,000 fans to volunteer 100 minutes of their time to the community, to community service projects, what we can accomplish as a community together can be unbelievable. This has been a big vision from what Pat Bowlen has envisioned for the Broncos overall, giving back to the community. The community makes the football team helps grow in the community, and Broncos country is super, super strong. You can sign up with the link, go to denverbroncos.com, click on the link, and you can register there. This will be a huge thing. It's going to have Broncos players there. There's going to be Denver Broncos alumni, cheerleaders that will also be involved in making this happen for the Denver Day of Service, powered by Mile High United Way and the Denver Broncos. I want to thank Broncos Country once again for tuning in to another episode of the show. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. As always, you guys have until Sunday. We're going to be announcing the winner of the Locked On Broncos Super Bowl ring giveaway for helping me reach 10,000 followers on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. All you have to do is go to Twitter. Got to make sure you're following me at CodyRourkeNFL. You click retweet on the giveaway tweet, and guess what? You will be automatically entered. We'll announce the winner live on Periscope, and we're going to enter it through a system that draws it automatically, so it's a fair shake for every single person that retweets. So Broncos country, you guys rock. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll be back on Monday for a brand new episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast.